Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from Millbrae, California. That's a suburb of San Francisco, where my wife and I have traveled to celebrate the first birthday of our granddaughter, Edith Catherine. It is the 20th day of September, 2022, and really glad to be with you again. Before I talk more about today's show, let me remind you that I do write a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that letter by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com. I would also like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Go to chenpicks.com for that. Chen is especially big on the biotechs now and on silver, I might mention as well. And although Michael Oliver isn't with us today, I do like to remind you that his newsletter, which is very good, you go to olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com to sign up for Michael's letter. And I do want to thank all of you for making this show one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel, and for sending along your questions, comments, whatever comments you have about the show. We're always happy to hear from you. Send them to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. And, of course, without our sponsors, we wouldn't have a show. Our sponsors for today, we want to thank them: Irving Resources, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Reyna Gold Corp, Timberline Resources, and Lion One Metals. I've titled today's show, An Asian Bretton Woods, Where Does That Leave America? Alistair MacLeod, Michael Wood, and Patrick Highsmith are scheduled guests for today. The financial war between Russia and China's tacit backing on one side and America and her NATO allies on the other has escalated rapidly. It appears that President Putin was thinking several steps ahead when he launched Russia's attack on Ukraine. We have seen sanctions fail. We have seen Russia achieve record export surpluses. We have seen the ruble become the strongest currency on the foreign exchanges. We are seeing the West enter a new round of European monetary inflation to pay everyone's energy bills. The euro, yen, and sterling are already collapsing. And according to Alistair MacLeod, who will be with me in the second half of today's show, the dollar will be the next to head towards the dustbin of history. So from Putin's point of view, things are progressing quite well. Russia has progressed her power over Asian nations, including populous India and Iran, and has persuaded Middle East oil and gas producers that their future lies with Asian markets, not with Europe. Russia is subsidizing Asia's industrial revolution with discounted energy prices. Thanks to the West's sanctions, Russia is on its way to confirming Halford Mackinder's predictions made over a century ago that Russia is the true geopolitical center of the world. There is one piece in Putin's jigsaw yet to be put in place, a new currency system to protect Russia and her allies from an approaching Western monetary crisis. Alistair believes and will explain in the second segment why he thinks Putin is now assembling a new gold-backed multi-currency system by combining plans for a new Asian trade currency with his new Moscow world standard for gold. So, again, we'll be talking to Alistair MacLeod about these topics, this issue, these geopolitical issues and economic issues in the second segment, or in the second half of today's show. In the second segment of today's show, Michael Wood will talk of Reyna Gold Corporation's emerging gold discovery in Mexico. Now, last week, Patrick Highsmith was with me, and we had anticipated that he would have some assay results that he anticipated they'd be pretty good based on what he saw, you know, as a geologist, but he couldn't say anything at that point because, well, we just really didn't know what the assays were. So it was about a day later or so that he got those assays, and I'm happy to tell you that Patrick is with me right now to give us some perspective on those assays. Patrick, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. And I guess it was last Wednesday when the assays came out, the day after our show, if I have that right. And it was the first four holes drilled from the company's 2022 drill program. And they were quite encouraging, I believe. Maybe you would just explain to our listeners what you've learned from these first four drill holes and what they might mean for the project longer term.
Absolutely, Jay, and it's good to be back with you. Thank you for the opportunity. These were the first four holes. We're drilling around 20, 25 holes or so in this program, Jay, and this is the first, say, 1,500 meters of about 7,000 meters in that program. And we're getting close, 75, 80% done with it, Jay, but the assays have finally started coming in. And really, the significance is each of these four holes, Jay, hit significant gold. By that, we mean a significant width exceeding a sort of cutoff grade of 0.3 grams or better. And we reported those in the release. But the highlights, I think, are not only did all the holes hit significant gold, Jay, but three out of the four yielded assays within those intervals of greater than 10 grams per ton. So best of all, at the Eureka Project, we keep hitting high grade as our drill programs progress. And, of course, the highlight here was one hole, hole 226, which was a 75-meter step out from one of those thick high-grade holes we announced in the first quarter of the year. And it was a really nice extension, Jay. We pushed things 75 meters further south, and we hit 22.8 meters of 4.29 grams per ton. Very respectable intercept, but within that, we had 7.6 meters of 11.56 grams per ton, Jay. So really nice high grade in that hole. And it just tells us 75 meters further south, this zone keeps going. And you might remember from the maps I've showed you, Jay, and that your listeners can see in the news release, this thing's wide open to the south. This is the southernmost hole we've drilled there. And really, there's hundreds of meters to the south that need to be tested. And super exciting results from both the center and the south end of the water well zone discovery at the Eureka Project.
Right. And so, yeah, these are good. These are good mining widths. These are good intersections. And when you look at gram meters, they score very nicely. So you have, if you could give us some sort of sense of several hundred meters, you say, is your where you'll be drilling next to round out your program this year? Are there drill holes somewhere other than the water zone, water well zone?
We actually show on the map on the news release, Jay, several holes that are either planned or have been completed for which we don't have assays yet. And folks will see that we have holes around the holes we just announced, a couple of holes to the east side there in the water well zone, and several at the north. We also have holes a little farther afield. We have a reverse circulation hole well to the north, a few hundred meters to the north, again, doing some real exploration up there. And over at the Oswego zone, about a kilometer and a half east of here, we also put in a couple of holes for which we're awaiting assays, Jay. So I'd say about 80% of the program is along this water well and lookout trend, and then a few holes elsewhere. But folks can see on that map where to expect the next round of results to come from.
Now, these can you give us a sense of what the depth of these intersections are? How far below surface?
Yeah, that's a good point. These that I just announced, including that high-grade interval, were the deeper part of the system, Jay. They begin at 340 meters depth. Okay, so around 1,000 feet, a little bit more than 1,000 feet deep. That's consistent with the previous high-grade intercepts on the south side of the water well zone, in particular hole 212C, which was a nice high-grade hole as well. But on the northern end of the water well zone, you may remember up at hole 220C, there the top of the zone was only 140 meters below surface or around 500 feet. So there is variability in this zone that we're drilling, Jay. It's been both faulted and folded around. And so if one thinks about looking forward, there's a shallower end at the north of the system, and it gets deeper at the south of the system. And we'll just have to see where that takes us. But that's all the more important in the fact that we're seeing significant widths of more than 10 grams per ton gold mineralization within these zones, so that they might support extraction by underground methods in the future, as well as in some areas, there's certainly potential for open pittable resources.
Yeah, and you do have a resource there, I think, if memory serves me correctly, something over 500,000 ounces, I believe, of lower grade oxides that, that might be mineable in conjunction with higher grade underground gold, in theory, at least.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The existing resource does come to surface, and so that's a great start, as you know, Jay. Even if that material is low grade, it helps pay for, were there to be a mining scenario here, it could potentially help pay for the extraction of deeper resources, the fact that you've got mineral coming to surface. But we're chasing grade here, Jay. These are the kind of roots we were hoping to drill into. There's several intervals reported in this release. I've only touched on the highest profile values, but a really good result. And, kicking off a drill program with the first four holes hitting significant widths of gold and three of the four having more than 10 grams per ton in them, it's a really good start to the drill season.
Very encouraging, no doubt about it. And this is, I believe, a Carlin-style model that you're looking at.
That's right. The Eureka District is a host to Carlin-type mineralization. Homestake and Barrick were mining it there before, up at the Ruby Hill Archimedes Project, where I-80 Gold continues to advance that project to reopen that mine. And we've been drilling it down here in the south end of the district for some years and have confirmed this is Carlin-type gold mineralization.
So how soon are we going to see some more assays? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, we're getting some in every day now that we're into the groove. We're into the results season, as we like to say. I would say no more than 3 weeks, Jay, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And we're trying to release them in orderly batches of a few holes and hopefully kind of geographically clustering so people can kind of locate themselves on the maps as we announce.
Yeah, that's very helpful. All right. Well, it looks very encouraging for sure. I'm really happy for you, and as a shareholder myself and as a sponsor, really pleased to hear the good news, and we look forward to hearing some more in the near term.